Well, guys, let me read a verse we're going to unpack together today. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Romans chapter 8. And as Toby mentioned, we're talking about our best life. And I would love to share a verse that is so powerful and has shaped so much of my thinking about when we hit trials, troubles, and challenges. And let's read this slowly together, because the words written here by the Apostle Paul have the power to completely change your life and my life if we can get it into our thinking and our hearts. The Bible says, "And we know that all things," everyone say all things, "work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." This is such a mind-boggling, life-altering revelation, and I'm going to unpack it today together as we look into the word of the Lord. But I'm wondering if you, like me, have ever encountered a trial or a challenge in life. Give me a wave just so I know I'm not alone. Who's gone through a trial? Yep, give me a wave who never has. Yeah, I think you might be lying. Okay, yeah, might be lying. Well, I know for me, I've gone through many different trials. Before I was saved, after I was saved. And maybe like me, have you ever been in a trial and asked the question, why is this happening to me? When will this end? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And how do I get to the other side of this trial? Maybe if you thought those thoughts, you thought you were crazy or you were alone, but can I tell you, you definitely aren't. We all hit these moments where we hit a trial, and I'll talk about what a trial is, and we start to have questions and wrestle with God. I remember a particular season for me. As I said, I could have shared from about 100 examples, but a particular season for me, it was in 2020. And I know many of us had a challenging year. But for me, God was doing something deeper than just the obvious challenge. In March of 2020, Ebony and I had just recently moved to Melbourne to plant our beautiful church here, and we had just launched our church. And obviously, as we know, the world goes into lockdown on March the 8th, 2020. For Ebony and I in this particular season, and as I said, I know we all went through many hardships and trials. For us, the context is we had kind of just been separated from our family, our pastors and our friends. So obviously in this context, we felt quite isolated. We were worried about the church plant, of course. We had just kind of moved our whole life in obedience to God to plant a church. And we had this plan of what we thought was going to happen. And then as life does, curveball came and we launched this church on March the 8th, and then we run one service, and then we go into lockdown for 9 months. Who knows, that's not the easiest place to plant a church, probably. I don't know. But deeper than that, there was something happening in my heart. I found myself in quite a dark place. I was in such a dark place that I started encountering panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And I was just in a very dark place personally, wrestling through some of these questions we talked about before with God. Maybe you can relate to me in this, but I remember feeling emotions like confused, asking questions like, God, why is this happening to me? I remember feeling doubtful, going, God, did I really hear your voice? Am I in your will? I'm so confused what's going on around me. I remember feeling discouraged. Have you ever felt discouraged? Where life seems so overwhelming and you're just like, I don't know the way forward. What have I done wrong? I just feel heavy. I remember feeling alone. God, where are you? I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but sometimes in our darkest moments, we can feel like God is the furthest away. And I remember feeling anxious, worried and concerned about the future and just constantly trying to go, is this my life forever now? I can't see a way out of this trial or storm. Have you ever been there, friend? And I know in this room, I can guarantee there is a big chunk of people who are there right now, smack bang in the middle of a trial. And if so, you're in the right place today. And maybe there's a big group of people here. You're like, hey, Dan, I'm not in a trial right now. That's flipping awesome. But unfortunately, you probably will one day soon. So let's keep this message to heart. Hey, James chapter 1, verse 2. I'm going to bounce back to this, but James said, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. What the heck? What do you mean, count it all joy? What do you mean, like, this is awesome? James is literally saying to the church, when you hit a trial, jump up and down with joy. We're going to bounce back to that, but there are trials of various kinds. The Greek word for trial is pirasmos. I don't even think I even said that remotely close to how to say it. But it translates to temptation, trials, testing. We will all go through moments of temptation, of trials, and of testing. This might look like demonic opposition, emotional pressure. It might look like marital pressure or pressure in your relationships. It can look like, in different seasons, sickness, disease or injury, anxiety, like I shared in my journey, depression. It can look like temptation. It's just like, I'm so tempted to this certain sin. A trial can look like an addiction to sin. No matter how free I'm trying to get of this one sin, I keep coming back to it. It can look like a challenging season, a discouragement. I heard Pastor Phil say, like, there's a smorgasbord of trials available, unfortunately. But here's the truth. Trials are part of the Christian life. We shouldn't live a life hoping and expecting that life's going to be perfect, easy, and trouble-free, because that is not our theology. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible tells us, in fact, the opposite, that we will go through trials. We will go through challenges. But here's the good news. Although we'll go through the valley, we'll go through the fire, we'll go through the water, Jesus promises time and time and time again, I will be with you. Isn't that good news? Come on, let's give God thanks. He's with us. He's with us when we go through trials. If Paul had trials and Peter had trials, why should we expect not to? Yeah. If Abraham had trials and Moses had trials, why should we expect not to? Right. But at the deepest level, if Jesus Christ himself, our ultimate guide to follow, our teacher, our example, our savior, our Lord, if Jesus himself was tempted and tried, how much more should we expect to potentially walk through the same thing? We cannot always control the trials that come against us, but we can control how we respond to them. And that's why I'm preaching today. You might be like, what the heck, Dan? Your best life, my butt. But let me tell you why this is going to be helpful is I'm talking reality from my life. The moment I got saved, I learned pretty quickly I am going to still walk through trials. But how we respond to trials can determine if we're living our best life, following Jesus to the very end, or if you and I end up, unfortunately, like so many brothers and sisters who aren't in the race still today, who aren't following the Lord, who their children aren't now following the Lord, because I've seen so many people are taken out, not when life's going awesome, right? But when we're walking through trial. So our best life, we need to learn how to respond in trial and temptation and struggle. In fact, it will determine your future and my future. But here's the good news. As we circle back to Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good. If we can get this mindset, it will completely reshape how you and I look at trials and challenges. To the point where guys like James say, guys, count it all joy. Get excited. When you've got a trial, get pumped. Like, isn't that crazy? But let's look into why. So can you keep this verse up behind me, team? Romans 8:28, please. It says, all things. So the first thing I want you to know today, if you're walking through a trial right now, whatever you are facing, that exact thing has the potential to be turned for your good. All things. There's not one trial we'll face. There's not one challenge we'll come against. There's not one sickness, one anything that can come against us that God does not have the power and the potential to turn for our good. So that financial trouble you're going through right now, God will turn it for good. That marriage breakdown or pressure you're going through, or maybe you've walked through a divorce, can I tell you, God can use that for good. That prodigal right now who's far from God, and it seems like so far from God, God can use that for good. That secret addiction you have that you haven't told anyone about and you feel ashamed and guilty about, come on, God can turn that for your good. Your battle with depression, anxiety, or fear, let me tell you, God says, I can turn that for good. In fact, Genesis 50 says, whatever the enemy meant for evil. So whenever the enemy comes against my life and your life, God can turn it for good. But here's the key to this scripture. Often as believers, we can cherry pick a scripture and go, oh, I like the first half of that verse. Oh, I like that one verse out of context and not in the whole paragraph. Like, we need to look at this. And there's actually an if in this scripture. And this is a great way to learn how to understand the Bible. So if you catch the word, it says, all things work together to good for. Everyone say for. Good. To those. Everyone say those. The promise is attached to people who, no matter what's going on in their life, whether we're in a good season or a challenging season, we choose to love God. And people, to those who choose to stay in their calling and their purpose. And I want to encourage us to ask ourselves that question this morning. Do I love the Lord? Now, of course, that means we're not perfect. We all go through seasons. But at the deepest level of my heart, how is my love for Jesus? And am I called according to his purpose? Am I in his will right now? Am I doing what he's called and asked me to do in this season? If the trial robs us from loving God, and if the trial robs us of fulfilling our purpose, this promise gets detached from our life. And that's what the enemy wants. When we're walking through the trial, the enemy's trying to dislodge our heart from loving him still. But you and I need to be people who make a decision. I love the Lord with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, no matter what is coming against me. See, we don't love Jesus based on our circumstance or our situation. We love him because of who he is. And the enemy will try to attack that. But you and I need to keep our hearts pure. And what does that look like? That means in the good seasons, I wake up early and I seek the Lord in prayer. But also when I'm going through the darkest night of my life, what do? I still get up and I still pray. Guess what? I still have my hands lifted at church. I'm still praising God, even though I'm walking through a challenging season. Do not let the enemy take your heart away from loving him. Amen? Amen. Yeah, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand. And I mean this kindly, I'm talking to myself, but let's not dare let a trial take us out of fulfilling our purpose. Yeah, wow. The enemy's going to try to dislodge us from our heart-loving God, and he's going to try to dislodge us from our purpose. Yeah. But we cannot give up in those dark times. We cannot give up in the trial. In fact, we need to lean in more. Keep serving the Lord. Keep coming to the house of God with your family. Keep leading strong. Do not give up in the dark seasons. Imagine a life where you and I truly believed this scripture. Imagine a life that through our heart we said, all things will work together for my good. I don't know about you, but if we have that mindset and that revelation, as believers, we cannot lose. We always overcome. Whatever is thrown our way, we will trust God. And it changes our entire perspective of trials. And as James said, maybe we can count it as all joy. So why don't we believe this? What is holding us back? And I'm asking myself these same questions too. But can I tell you, God is not a man that he can lie. This is a promise for us. And so I'm going to share quickly three questions we can ask ourselves if we're in a trial. Three questions we can ask ourselves. As I shared, you might be in one right now. Ask these questions in your heart. Or if you're not in one right now, write these down, print them out, and get them ready next time we encounter a trial. The first question I want to pose to us here this morning is, do I trust God? A question to ask. I remember hearing a preacher say this line, and it's never left me about 6 years later. The preacher said, every single trial points back to one question and one question alone. And that is, do I trust God? Every trial we will walk through, it, no matter whether it's financial, marital, any area in our health, in workplace, like whatever the trial is, it'll always point back in our heart, do I trust the Lord? The fire of a trial reveals what we truly believe and trust in our heart. We can easily, as believers, say that we trust the Lord, but it's actually a trial that reveals if we trust the Lord. And the truth is, we all have an area right now in our heart where we don't fully trust Him. That's the journey of a lifetime. That's a journey of sanctification. And that's okay, but that's what trials do. They strengthen our trust in Him. So can I ask you here this morning, if we were to peel aside every superficial thing and every area of your heart and truly ask you here this morning, what do you trust in? Who do you trust? And ultimately, this journey for me in 2020, that six-month trial of that was getting worse and worse, darker and darker, anxiety attacks were getting more and more. It was quite a dark place. In fact, one of the darkest places I've ever found myself in. And I remember wrestling with God. I remember wondering, struggling, doubting. As I shared earlier, it's okay to ask questions. God, if you love me, why am I here? Like, God, I thought Eb and I moved here because you wanted us to, but now in my obedience, I find myself struggling the worst I've ever struggled. Why? These wrestles were going on. But ultimately, I found for me, it came back to this question in my own heart. And He kept asking me, do you trust me, Dan? Do you trust me? And I got to a place eventually, it took me a good month, few months, but I got to a place in my heart was like, you know what? This situation's tough right now. But what I do know is I know that God, you called me here. I know you spoke to me. I know who you are. I know that you are God and you are kind and you are good and you are faithful. And I got my heart back to a place of reminding myself who He is and what He had said over Ebenezer's life. And ultimately, I did have a choice. Am I going to choose to trust Him when it doesn't make sense? Or am I going to choose to not trust Him when it doesn't make sense? Psalm 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. We could insert something in your life there. What are you tempted to put your trust in? It might be some trust in their superannuation account, some trust in the government, some trust in a bottle or a pill, some trust in a binge on Netflix. Oh, am I getting too real here this morning? Some trust in their husband to save their life. Some trust in their wife to save their life. We all have things that we're tempted to put our trust in. Where David was sharing in this psalm, his temptation and the people of Israel to put their trust in chariots, in horses, in the Egyptian army. But then there's a but. Everyone say but. I bet you didn't say you'd say but in church today. But you're saying but, people. But we trust in the name of our God. They are brought to their knees and fall. Who? Those who put their trust outside of anything but Jesus Christ. They eventually will fall. But we rise up and stand firm. When we walk through a trial, if our trust is in Christ, if our trust is in Jesus, if our trust is in His faithfulness and His goodness and His word, can I tell you, the Bible says here, you will rise up, you will overcome. Whatever you're facing right now here today, let me tell you, if your trust is in Jesus, you will overcome. You will stand firm. This will not take you out and you will get through this trial. But it all comes back to trust. I learned a life lesson in this season of my life, and it's that trust is deeper than faith. I used to think faith was the key to get through every trial. But the thing about faith is it comes and goes. My faith-o-meter evaporates once every 24 hours. I wake up most days, my faith's back down to zero. and I build it up again. Faith is so important. But this season taught me that we actually default back to what we trust in. Wow. Faith will come and go, but we will always default back to trust. And if we truly trust God, the trial doesn't necessarily leave, but we have peace in the midst of it. The disciples are still on that boat going through the storm, but Jesus is in the boat. If we trust in the God, we rest in the knowledge that He who is greater will get us through. And if He's in our boat, He can calm the storm and get us to the other side. So this looks like a heart posture on the inside of us that says, I may not understand why I'm going through this, but I choose to trust you, God. I may not like this season. I'm not having fun right now, but I choose to trust you, God. I may not know when this will end, but I choose to trust you, God. I know who you are, and I trust in who you are, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a heart posture. You are good, you are kind, you are with me, you are for me. So for us, how do we do this? I learned that trust is a choice. God doesn't force us to trust Him. We have a decision where we put our trust. And my encouragement is, remember who God is. He is trustworthy. Yeah. Although others let us down and churches have let us down and people have let us down, God does not let us down. Remember who He is. Maybe that's speaking to someone. Your homework out of today, write down again, remind your soul, this is who God is. We remember what He has said. What has God spoken over your life? What has He declared over your life? And if you're in His will, trust Him in it and surrender control and give it to Him. That's ultimately how we trust Him. And that's what I did in that season. God, I cannot control this. I cannot, but I surrender it to you, to the one I trust in. Amen? Amen. So first question, do I trust God? Question two, what are you doing in me? What are you doing in me? See, this perhaps is the most powerful question we can ask in seasons of trial and testing. Because God does not bring the trial, but He sure does use it to develop us and produce in us the man and the woman of God He is molding us into and discipling us to be. James 1:2, let's go back to this crazy verse. Crazy James, all right. Consider a pure joy, says crazy James. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Now we get a little bit of the why He's saying that. Are you ready for it? Verse 3, because you know that the testing, everyone say testing. Testing. The testing of your faith produces, everyone say produces. Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Wow. Okay, so Jesus is producing something in us when we are tested in our faith. What's His goal? That we would be mature and complete. See, that's God's heart for us, is that we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. This is the journey of a disciple. This is the journey that will never end until we enter those heavenly gates. We are always becoming more like Him. That's why our vision is transform lives. Our vision is that you and I, myself as the pastor included, we all are having our life transformed by God into the image of His Son. And so if you're a disciple, you're up for this journey. But I got good news and bad news. Okay, the bad news is that how He answers that prayer is generally through using trials to grow us. Yeah. But the good news is that they work. We grow and we develop and to become more Christ-like. Yeah. See, this is the truth. The joy of the trial is what it produces in us. That's the joy James talking about. Wow, you've got an opportunity to grow. That's awesome. Wow, you've got an opportunity to become more like Christ. You've got an opportunity to become a better man, a better woman, a greater husband, a greater dad, a greater mom. Like, this is awesome for you. And I see this now. I'm not perfect, but I try to see every trial as an opportunity. I don't know how, God, but I know who you are. You will bring this together for my good, and this is an opportunity for me to become the man God has called me to be. Amen? And here's what I reflect on. I came out of 2020, the worst year of my life, closer to Jesus Christ than I had ever been. Now think about that for a moment, okay? You walk through like the darkest year of your life. It sucked, okay? It wasn't fun, most of it. But I emerged on the other side of that trial closer to Christ. He was more real to me than I had ever experienced in my entire life. Ebony and I's marriage was stronger than it had ever been on the other side of probably our toughest year in our marriage. I came out a better man than I went in. I had been purified. Sin had been dealt with. I came out a more Christ-like man. See, this is the joy of the trial, what it produces in us. And can I honestly say, I look back on all the trials I've ever walked through. I do not regret any of them. I'm glad they happened now because I can look back in hindsight and see what God did in me through those trials. Yeah. And I am who I am today because of how he shaped me in the midst of that challenge. Job 23:10. Those who know the story of Job, if you don't, go home and read it. A man through trials. Woo! I love how we complain about certain things like, oh God, no one liked my Instagram post. I'm so talking to myself. That person cut me off in traffic. Oh, why me, Lord? And Job's just in heaven like, you absolute schmuck. Like, Job lost everything. His house, his wife, his children, he lost everything. But check this out, Job 23:10. But he knows where I'm going. God knows where I'm going. And when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. Woo, how good is that? Gold in the Old Testament had a way of being produced. It in Bible times, refiners used fire as a gold purifier. It caused, as the gold and the rock around it would go into the fire, the impurities would come to the surface. It's the same with us. As we are tested and tried, as we go through trials, whatever sin is in our life, whatever impurities in our life, the things we don't like about ourselves, they rise to the surface. But here's the good thing. The gold would get crushed into powder. Okay, so this is so encouraging, right? Okay, we're going to start with fire. Then there's crushing. Then the gold ore would have frequent washings. This is where they'd wash out the impurities. It would then go back into the furnace, woohoo, for impurities to rise and be removed. The more it went through the process, the purer it would become. Job said, man, I've gone through the worst trial probably any human may have gone through, I don't know, but I will come out as gold. What is the gold? It's who I become. It's my refinement. So can I encourage you here today? This question is so powerful. If you find yourself in a trial, if I find myself in the trial, God, what are you doing in me? To actually slow down and ask the Holy Spirit, what are you doing in me, Lord? What are you trying to produce? What impurities are rising right now that you want me to deal with? Am I obeying you? And here's the power. The Israelites were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years because they missed their opportunity to obey God. And sometimes the trial actually ends sooner, the quicker we let the Lord do what he's actually trying to do. But sometimes he holds back the answer or the way out because he's still trying to get that gold formed on the inside of us. So the quicker we get there, the faster God will help us through. What are you doing in me? And as I invite the band up, my third and final question, am I aware that you are with me? Jesus promises us so many times, as I shared. Let me read some of them to you. The Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. These words are amazing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. There's never a time when Jesus isn't with us. It's a promise. So here's the question. If we don't feel his presence, if we don't feel his nearness, is he still with us? And that's where I found myself in that trial. He doesn't feel near. And the temptation and the enemy will start whispering that he has forsaken you. He's given up on you. He's not with you anymore. But that is so not the truth. If I'm not aware of his presence, is he still there? The answer is yes. Not just because we feel it, because we believe it, because it's a promise from the Word of God. As I walk through hard times, is he still there? Absolutely yes. Our last verse for the day, Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. This is God speaking to his people. But let him speak to you here this morning. He said, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God." Friend, whatever you're walking through today, if you take away one thing from today and this message, can I remind you that Jesus Christ himself is with you. He is for you. He is in your boat. The Bible says if he is for you, who can be against you? If he is with you, you can face any storm. You can overcome every trial. You can get through whatever the enemy is bringing against you. Why? Because Jesus himself is with you today. The Lord is with you. So as I bring this message to a close, we know all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Can we all just close our eyes for a moment just to block out distractions and just let the Lord speak to you? But out of these three questions, which one did the Holy Spirit prompt you to consider? Maybe you're here today and is it, do I trust God? Maybe there's some heart work you need to do to get back to that place of trust in who he is. Remembering who the Lord is, that he is with you. And you're going to get through this. Number two, what is he doing in me? Maybe that resonated that I've been fighting what God is trying to produce in me. And just to let the Spirit of God, even now, just highlight to you what he is producing on the inside of you as a man and a woman of God. Or maybe number three, is it, am I aware that he is with me? Maybe that's all you need here today. That's enough. Jesus is enough. I would rather walk through 100,000 trials with him by my side than walk through none apart from him. Jesus is enough. Lord, I pray here today for every single wonderful person. Lord, they are your beloved son, your beloved daughter. I know that you love them desperately. In fact, right now, if you're walking through a trial here and now, can you just reach your hands out to God in your seat like you're about to receive something from him? Many people raising. If that's you, raise your hands. Lord, I'm asking in faith over every hand raised that here today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would resurrect faith. That, Lord, they would leave today, not necessarily with the answer, but they would leave with a deeper trust in who you are. Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge you, and you will give them all they need. I pray that you would produce in them what you are doing to disciple them and develop them into who you've called them to be. And Lord, as I pray, I ask, give them visions and pictures that they would see that the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, is with them. I will never leave you nor forsake you, says the Lord. I am with you always until the very end. And Lord, I pray, encourage them and strengthen them in the trial here and now. I bind the enemy. I bind discouragement. I bind every plan from the evil one trying to come against them and their family. And I prophesy, Lord, they will overcome. They are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen. Can we all give the Lord a hand today? Jesus, we praise you. We honor you and glorify you. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.